This week, this past week, Linda and I celebrated 48 years of bliss. I looked at her and she moved her lips and she didn't deny the 48 years of bliss, of years. But I'm pretty sure she questioned the bliss. What an amazing trip. You know, when you get married, when you're hardly out of high school, and life just goes on, and the years pile up, and the years pile up, and the years pile up, and all of a sudden you say, wow, 48 years this week. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. Thank you, Rob, for that great announcement. I don't know where you disappeared to, but thank you. There you are. That one about the offering next Sunday, I wish you would have labored that a little more. Well, we heard Olivia make some announcements this morning, and particularly volunteers, and that's where I want to go this morning. You will note that my message title printed in the bulletin is, What's in Your Hand? So go ahead, have a look at your hands. Have a look at your hands. What's in your hand? Oh, I see a hand digging in a purse over here. No, it's not offering yet. That idea, that thought comes from Exodus chapter 4. When God is putting a whole lot of things together, but he starts by putting the command into the life of Moses. And Moses really tries to get out of this responsibility. And I don't think Moses is alone. I think many of us have been in a position and a place where we have tried to get out of responsibility before God. Well, I can tell you it doesn't work. It's not going to happen. God doesn't give up. He keeps working and working and working in us. And so when Moses makes objection, he's already been to the burning bush that wasn't consumed. And now when he makes more objection, God says, Moses, what's that in your hand? Moses doesn't have to look. He knows. It's a shepherd's staff. And this is where the plot starts to thicken. Then God says to Moses, throw it on the ground. So Moses throws it on the ground. Boom, it turns into a snake. And the scripture says, and Moses ran. Do you blame him? I don't blame him. You know, I'm not that spiritual. And then God says to Moses, Moses, I want you to go back, and I want you to pick up that snake by the tail, and it turns back to a staff. Wow. Moses, I want you to take that information and that experience. I want you to take that staff. And I want you to go back to Egypt and establish your rulership or your leadership with the people of Israel, because you're finally going to lead them out of this nation and into freedom. And Moses was so much like many of us. A little slow to pick up, a little slow to learn, a little slow to catch on. And God knew that. So he said, Moses, why don't you just slip your hand in your robe? His hand goes in his robe. He pulls it out, and it's leprous. It's turned white. I think if I would have been Moses, if I would have been in Moses' skin that morning or day or whenever it was, I would have been pretty scared. And after seeing what God did, God said to Moses, all right, put your hand back in your robe. And pull it out, and it's whole again. But my question to you as we serve God together is, what's in your hand that God can use as he calls you to be engaged in the kingdom of God? Church is an amazing place. Sometimes it's a great place. Sometimes, in reality, it's not such a great place. Sometimes there's strife and there's dissension, and those are hard times for any church body to go through. But church is a together place. In our fellowship, we offer membership. Membership is an expression of an individual who says, I want to join myself with this body of believers. I agree with their doctrines. I agree with the way they're going. I agree with what's happening. And then, of course, government always seems to get its foot in the door, and the provincial government says, well, if you're going to do business, if you're going to act as a society, you have to become a member of a society, or, as this church is, we're under the charter of the National Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada that was issued in 1919. And we function under their charter. And the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada initially was put together, and people came together primarily for the purpose of being a missionary movement. That there was some administration and some structure that people who felt they wanted to go to the mission field could join this fellowship, and together they would go. There would be opportunity for fundraising and caring for the temporal needs of missionaries and so on, which has grown in an amazing portion. I can't tell you this morning how many missionaries we have and we sponsor across the world, but it's many. I think it's something like about 150 or more. And we're sowing the seed every Sunday, that Sunday of the month, when you have an open offering for missions. That money is going to help and support some mission somewhere. And they're doing the work of God as you enable them. The other part of being a part of the church, and the other dimension of being a part of the church, is one of the ways that we really feel that we're together, that we're really doing God's work, that we've come together for a particular purpose, is when we engage in ministry. Now, here at CLF, I think there's about 5 or 6 paid staff, and all the rest of the work is volunteer. Now, you can just imagine, or maybe you can't imagine, you can't imagine how much work there is to be done by volunteers. And the truth is, the volunteer work next to the lead pastor is the strength of the church. Well, we got one or two with us anyway. It's the strength of the church. That's what makes churches strong. That's what makes churches great. You know, it's not the preaching. You know, one Sunday the preacher could be off, the next Sunday he's on. Hard to tell. But it's the volunteer people that are so consistent, week after week after week after week after week. And you know what? By the next week, they're starting to get tired. But God called Moses. Moses argued. He said, oh God, I can't speak. God said, isn't that amazing? Your brother Aaron just happened to be coming along. He'll do the speaking for him. I'll tell you what to tell him. He'll tell the people, and this is all going to work out. And he had a number of other excuses that he laid before the Lord. And God said, no good. No good. Moses, what's that in your hand? I'm going to use what you have in your hand. I'm going to send you back to the people of Israel in Egypt. And you are going to declare to them that I am who I am, sent you, that I am the Lord, I don't fail, I sent you, and you're going to gather up this million people or so, and you're going to lead them out of the country after you fleece the Egyptians and take all their gold and silver. I love that part. God always has such amazing plans, plans we couldn't even think of. And so God's beginning to equip Moses as Moses is going out. But Moses protested again. Look, they won't believe me. They won't do what I tell them. They'll just say, The Lord has never appeared to you. And the Lord asked Moses, what do you have in your hand? A shepherd's staff, Moses replied. Throw it down on the ground, the Lord told him. So Moses threw it down, and it became a snake. And Moses was terrified, so he turned and ran away. Then the Lord told him, take up the snake by its tail. So Moses reached down and grabbed it, and it became a shepherd's staff again. Perform this sign, and they will believe you, the Lord told him. Whom God calls, he equips. And I've been asking the Lord that this morning. I haven't asked him to give me something profound to say, okay? But I've been asking him that this morning, thank you, Bill, that God, through his Holy Spirit, would tap you on the shoulder today and say, I can participate in the ministry of Christian Life Fellowship in that area. I can help in this way. I can do ministry. And let's see what God will do. As you know, oh, that was good. Wow. You feel badly? Bring your own. as you know, the coming of Pastor Blair Phibbs is imminent. It's something like Jesus coming. You know, we know he's coming, but we don't know exactly when. But he's coming. He's coming. And one of the greatest gifts you can give your new pastor is be a volunteer doing something that is really significant in the kingdom of God. Go ahead. Go ahead. Now, I want you to understand that when you agree to do that, you're not doing it for Pastor Blair. Pastor Blair is called in to give leadership to this fellowship. You're doing it for God. When Moses was called, he wasn't called to do it for Israel. He was called to do it for God. And under God, he is going to make a significant influence and difference in the life of Israel. God gives Moses the sign of the rod. He gives him the sign of the leprous hand. He gives him the sign of water that became blood. These are things and experiences in the life of Moses that were given to encourage him, to help him along. God works that way. The simple question is, what's in your hand? It became a visible sign of an invisible God. God was taking Moses through a teaching program at this time, and this guy had an awful lot to learn. He was dealing now with a whole different mental capacity, a whole different outlook. He was a student, a child of the Pharaoh by adoption. He grew up in the courts of Pharaoh. He grew up in the education system of Egypt. He grew up in the arts of Egypt. But now it has to change. Now he's going to grow up in the courts of the divine, of the Holy One, of the God of Israel. And he's going to go to school again. You know, we are told repeatedly that we should never stop learning, and that is true. But when it comes to God, we're continually experiencing new things. So Moses had a rod. David had a slingshot. And the scripture says 5 stones. When David was talking with Saul, he had gone to take his brothers probably some kubasa, and spent some time with them. And while he was there, he came to understand that there was no one in the army of Israel that was willing and prepared to go up against this Philistine. He was termed as a giant. The whole nation was termed as giants. And David went to Saul and said, I'd like to go against this character. Saul said, come on, David, you're just, you know, the scripture says you're a little ready guy. And David said, don't worry. When the bear came to take the sheep, I took him on. When the lion came to destroy the sheep, I took him on. I can do it. I can do it. After some consideration, Saul gave him his armor and David put it on. And you know, the scripture says that Saul was a head taller than all the men of Israel. And David began to realize that he can't function with all this armor. Did you ever try to do something and you use somebody else's stuff? And then it doesn't work. So David set it aside and he went back to Saul and he said, Saul, I'm going to do it my way and I'm going to do it the old way and I'm going to go to the brook and I'm going to get me some stones that will work in my sling and we're going to take care of business today. As David was approaching, when Saul could see, Goliath could see him in sight, he said, what am I? Are you, am I a dog or something that you're sending this shepherd against me with sling and stones? David said, don't get excited. Don't get excited because by the end of the day, I'm going to cut your head off with your own sword. David picks these stones up, puts one in his sling. Some people have said David took five stones because Goliath had brothers. I don't know if that's factual or not. But he put a stone in his sling and he wound it up however he did it. I don't know if he got his sling from Canadian Tire or Zellers or where he got a sling from. But the point is that he was very accurate in using this instrument. And at the given time, he wound it up and he let that stone go and he hit the giant right there. Down he went. David went over, took his sword, cut his head off. What's in your hand? Maybe you have a sling. If you have, let me know. I want a duck. There was a lad at a meeting where Jesus was speaking. And Jesus really set his disciples up for this one. Because at a given point in the day, he said to Philip, Philip, there's all these people here. The scripture says maybe 5,000 men plus women and children. There's all these people here, and they just can't stay out here all day. It's hot under the desert sun. We need to feed them. See, there's a problem again. There was no McDonald's. There was no Wendy's. There was no Mr. Mike's. There was no White Spot. Boy, they were hard up against it. And the disciples came back to him and said, well, Lord, there's not much out here, you know, we're in desert land. But we do have a lad that has five loaves and two fishes. Now that should probably serve this band of 12, if we're really careful. And Jesus said to them, bring them. And they brought them the loaves and the fishes. I like this part. And Jesus blessed it. And Jesus blessed it. What does that say to us? Whatever we have in our hands, when we bring it to the Lord, He will bless it. He will bless it. He will multiply it if necessary. And then Jesus said to the disciples, go and distribute it to all the people. And when they were done, they had baskets full left over. What did that lad have? Just some fish and some bread. He was probably from Campbell River, actually. He had a couple of fish. Maybe he had some of those big tie. I don't know. But God worked through him with the means that he had at hand. Never limit God. Never say, well, I would do something great for God if God gave me something great. God meets us where we are. He starts us where we are. And He uses what we have. He uses what we have to enable us to be a partner in the ministry. Naaman the leper had heard that there was a man of God in Israel who could heal. And so he got his horses and his chariot, and the king gave him, I hope I remember right, 750 pounds of gold. Pounds of gold. 150 pounds of silver. Do we have a mathematician in our house? Could you tell us how much money that is? It's an amazing figure. And they went over to see the prophet, and the prophet didn't even come out. He said, sent his servant out, and he said, go tell him to dip in the River Jordan. Of all places, the River Jordan is muddy and it's dirty. He said, go dip seven times. Naaman said, that's it, I'm going home. We got cleaner rivers in our country. And the little maid, a little girl, came along and said, don't be so hasty. Don't be so hasty. That man of God gave you instruction, and he believes, and I believe, that you will be made whole. So Naaman finally agreed. He put his pride away, and he went down into the River Jordan. When he came up the seventh time, he was healed and he was whole. We can't deny the power of God. It's amazing. And again, it comes with obedience. It comes with obedience. What you have is enough. What you have is enough. God doesn't expect us to do that which is beyond our ability or our capability. God does not require more than we are able to do. God gives strength and imagination. Listen, when you go down further in chapter 4 of Exodus, we get to verse 18, and something's happened in Moses' heart during this time. Now he goes to his father-in-law Jethro, and he says, would you release me? Would you let me go? I want to go back to my people and see if there's still there, excuse me. See if they're still there. See if they're still able to do something with God's direction. And Jethro says, I bless you. Go. And Moses goes on his way. What had happened with Moses? Through the course of the rod and the leprosy, God changed his mind. God changed his will. Will is somewhere in here, and it's connected from here to here. Sometimes it gets stronger up here than it is down here. But God changed his mind and his will. All of a sudden, Moses had a purpose. He was going back to his people. He was going to do something for God. I ask you again this morning, folk, what does God have in your hands? And what do you have in your hands? Contrary to Moses, you may have the gift of speech. You may have the gift of speech. You may have the gift of song. This is really going to blow your minds now. You may have the gift of intelligence. You may have the gift of leadership. Well, I do that, Pastor, but no one has asked me. I'm hoping that after today, people start asking. You may have the gift of leadership. You know, the church functions with a board of deacons. They give leadership along with the pastor. They direct the church. They give direction. They give vision. They carry it on. They pass it out. You may have the gift of teaching. You may have the gift of serving. You may have the gift of just plain work. I think it was the second Monday I was here. I stepped out of the office and I saw Bud outside those side doors. He was putting on a doorstop. He was down in his knees serving God, turning in some screws, fastening some doorstops. That's service, folks. That's work. And thank you, Bud, for doing that. Thank you so much. We need those kind of workers. God may call you to be an encourager, a Barnabas. God may call you and allow you to exercise your gift of hospitality. What a great gift. What an amazing gift. The gifts that God has given you, I want to challenge you this morning to use it or you'll lose it. Now, God says that His giving is without repentance. God gives gifts, all kinds of gifts. Gifts that we can apply to work, a spiritual gift God gives us. These are all gifts from God, and we need to put them to use. If God has given you the gift of encouragement, don't set it aside. Put it to work. Put it to work. Let you and your family, your household, be the influence for the kingdom of God. If you have a gift that you have, that God has granted to you, train yourself in its use. Train yourself in its use. You say, Pastor, I kind of like people, and I like to bake, and I like to show off my house and various other things, but I don't know how to be hospitable. Well, talk to somebody who is. Just seek out somebody who's by nature hospitable, and you'll soon find out what's the appropriate and the inappropriate things to do, and you'll find out how you can influence people for the kingdom of God just by being hospitable, just by giving them a cup of coffee and a piece of cake. Learn from your failures. Pastor, I've tried this serving. I've tried being a volunteer, and, you know, I have just failed. Well, why did you fail? Ask yourself the questions. Why did you fail? Did I do it at the wrong time? Did I go about it the wrong way? Was I trying to work with the wrong people? Was I in over my head? Find the place where God wants you to serve. Dare to begin, dare to fail. Dare to begin and dare to fail. We hear this so often, especially in the exercising of spiritual gifts. Well, Pastor, I sometimes I feel so heavy on my spirit that God wants me to say something, but I don't want to say it because I could be wrong. It's okay. God's put something in place for all that. You know what it is? He says, if you're going to prophesy, let two or three judge. And then if those two or three think it's wrong in the council of many, just go to that individual and say, thank you for endeavoring, but you didn't quite make it. But let me help you. Let me instruct you. Let me teach you that on another occasion you can practice again and you can share a message with the congregation, with the people. How do you think Suzanne got to the place where she is? Ask her sometime. How do you think Ernie got to the place where he is? Ask him sometime. And there are others that speak the word of the Lord. Ask them sometime. It'd be an interesting conversation. Just commit yourself to serve. That's the starting point. God, I'm willing. Here I am. You will have resources. You will have intelligence. You will have understanding. You will have time when you give your will to God. So, what's in your hand this morning? We're going to allow some of the staff to let you know what's available. All right? Pastor John, would you come first? And then April. And then Pastor Daniel will come in from working with the children. These three individuals do a lot of coordinating of volunteer work here at the church. John?
Yeah. So I got a few. My sticky note got torn into pieces, and I didn't want to write on the back, so it's very small, so excuse me. So we have a few different opportunities for you to stretch out your hands and use them, and in all different capacities. So in no order of capacity, we need small group leaders for coming in September, and I wanted to meet with these small group leaders and run a small group ourselves. So with the people who are interested in leading, I want to work with you for a while and kind of figure out how we can make small groups work. So if you're interested in leading a small group and hosting it at your home, come and chat with me about that. As well as we need ushers. We have wonderful people who stand at the door and they just stretch a hand and shake people's hands when they come in. That could be you. And that would be an awesome opportunity for you to get to know people, maybe if you don't know people in the church. People like Bud and Wayne Smith have done so much work on this building. Thank you, Bud, and thank you, Wayne, because they have blessed this church so much with their heart and their care to come and do that kind of stuff. Also for janitoring. I know it seems simple, and we often think as a janitor is the lowest man on the pole. In reality, nothing looks good without a janitor.
Amen.
So if we came in here and this place looked like trash, I think you guys would be all pointing your fingers at the janitor. It's like the sound person. You don't notice the sound person until something goes wrong. On that, we do need sound people, if you're interested. Because Anya and her husband Darren have been doing the sound pretty much every Sunday and video every Sunday for the last year. With only excuse for a few days, and we barely excuse them. So we also, food and fellowship. We do so much food and fellowship. It's the heart of our ministry. I encourage you, if you want to help out in the kitchen, washing of mugs after church on Sunday. For our cafe ministry, helping seniors, we have an awesome opportunity to stretch out to people who have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Get involved sharing it with seniors who have never heard the words and love of Jesus Christ. We have an amazing opportunity, as well as our seniors ministry that happens at Ironwood. Every Sunday we go and we run church. Amen? We run church and we have people dedicated to that. And we could use a few more going there and loving these people into the kingdom of heaven.
All right. Thank you, John. April. April does an amazing amount of work in the office for us. You can see that she has a helper and a helper, but we're grateful for all of them. Go ahead.
Today we just wanted to highlight the ministry of Royal Rangers and Girls Ministries here at the church. And this is a ministry that was started about 2 years ago. And it was actually Jeremy first that had this on his heart for Royal Rangers, which is a Christian mentoring Boy Scout type program. Anyways, I kept thinking after he brought this idea up, like, what about our girls? What about all the girls in our church? I can't imagine a group for boys and not a group for girls. So I started praying, like, God, like, please, we need a leader for these girls. Like, raise up a leader for them. So I'm praying, and, you know, of course, nobody's coming along and nothing is happening. And yeah. So anyways, I just started praying, okay, God, like, is it me? Like, do you want me to do this? And, you know, I guess it's easy to think, I don't have what it takes, or I wouldn't know the first thing about doing this, but I guess just I came to the place of just saying, God, I'm willing. Like, if you want me to do this, I'm willing. So it's amazing when you do that, all of a sudden God just takes your willingness and he multiplies it, just like what Pastor Dave was saying with the bread and the fish. Next thing you know, we have a team of 15 leaders who are dedicated to being
Amen.
There every single Tuesday night from 6 to 7:30. We didn't even know those first weeks when we started how many kids would come. Would people come? Do people have time in their schedules? Do people want this? Yeah, they're coming. The kids are loving it. And next thing you know, we have between 60 and 70 children every Tuesday night coming. Parents are saying to me, this is the highlight of our kids' week. They love it. Can you do this program two nights a week? They're asking. So, you know, it's just amazing. And, you know, we just have this amazing privilege. We're introducing children to Jesus. We're teaching them how to be a disciple of Jesus. And we do this through songs, just fun songs we sing together. We do it through games. We do it through these workbooks that we use to reinforce the Bible lessons we teach. We earn badges. This is 2 years worth of badges that our girls have earned in our PRIMS club. PRIMS is for girls kindergarten to grade 3. STARS is our program for girls grade 4 to 6. We were averaging about 20 girls in our Prim's Club and about 15 girls in our STARS. In fact, at our last graduation, a badge ceremony, we call it, we packed out the prayer chapel. We put out as many chairs as we could because so many parents and grandparents come when we present the badges to the girls and cheer for them, and we're all so excited. And at our last club meeting this past May, I asked the girls to go around and just share, you know, their highlights of what they love about coming to Girls Ministries. And, you know, it's friendship. It's our special buck store that we have. It's learning about the Bible. It's singing songs. It's our crafts. This program is such a joy to be a part of. And this year, a few of our leaders are moving on to help with our junior youth, which is awesome. And these ladies have been amazing. But we're in need of 3 more leaders for our STARS group. And we're in need of at least one more leader with our PRIMS group. We'd also love to have a couple or 2 people that would take care of our registration. Every night when the children arrive, their parents sign them in, and we have some paperwork that needs to be done. We'd love a people that would just come and do that part. Maybe after that was done, we'd go for coffee for an hour and come back and do our sign out. It's a busy time when all those parents are arriving and signing out their kids. So anyways, we were so thankful to God for blessing this ministry. We're so thankful for the incredible support from this church and for all the parents and the kids. So yeah, I'll let Jeremy tell you about Rangers.
So with the Royal Ranger program, the goal of the Royal Ranger program is to raise up future servant leaders in the church. And we do that through the Bible merits that we do, the skill merits, the boys learn different age-appropriate things, first aid, learning how to use a compass, learning how to play chess, safety, rope craft, fire craft, tool craft, and one of the popular ones was safe use of firearms. And that's the Discovery Rangers, which is boys grade 3 to 6. And then Ben is one of our Ranger kids, which is kindergarten to grade 2. And they do a more simplified version of some of the merits. But the boys love it. And what they don't really realize is that they are learning how to be men, how to be leaders in the church. And that's what we need. The guys that come as the adult leaders are speaking into these boys. They're showing them, this is what a leader is. This is what a leader does. This is what a man does. That's an awesome thing when you think about it. Look at all the other examples that are out in our culture of what men are. It's pretty disappointing when you look. So it's great to have the team of leaders out every Tuesday night speaking into these boys' lives. I think I need maybe 2 more leaders to work with the boys every Tuesday night. And I know that when I first started, when God gave this into my heart to do, I was Moses. I was Moses. I had every excuse why I shouldn't do it. But God provided everything that I need, everything that all the adult leaders need. It's all provided. And he's made a way for us. So there's a little bit of work to get your lessons ready, but it's not labor intensive, really. And the boys love it. It's the highlight of their weeks for some of them. Yeah.
All right, thank you. Thank you. I was present at their awards night closing exercise, and it was absolutely amazing. The prayer chapel was full. And what I found amazing was not just that the kids were there, but moms and dads were there. And I come to realize after that a lot of those moms and dads were the leaders. And so moms and dads, you save a trip. If you come as a leader, you don't have to go home, come back and pick up your kids. You're right there and you can influence them. Pastor Dan. And I don't think you'll know what he's going to ask for.
I'm working on it right now. I'm joking, but I did just come in from hanging out with the kids in Sunday school, and we were having a blast. I want to take a second just to rewind and to highlight April and Jeremy as an example in faithfulness. I still remember it was about 2 years ago when Jeremy came to me, and he said we would like to do something for our boys. And in my heart and in my mind, it was an answer to prayer. It was like, yes, how can I help you? Let's do this. And then when April accepted that willingness, stepped out in faith, it was like, yes, all right, God, like here we go. And it's turned into something beautiful. And if you're sitting there and maybe you have like just a nudge or even like just the slightest interest in helping out with, I'm not sure what John said, I missed that. If you had something that's jumping out at you, uncover that, look into it, and maybe, just maybe, if you step out in faith, God could use you to do something absolutely amazing in our community. It's happened over and over again, whether it's youth or whether it's kids, as I've seen some of you grow in the Lord as you continue to pour into our next generation. And we think that that's fantastic. With that said, I want to highlight our Sunday school ministry and our youth ministry. I'll start with Sunday school by saying, if you look at even just like attendance sheets from a few years ago as to the kids, the families that were plugged into our church, or how many might be showing up on a Sunday morning, as to how many will be showing up, especially like this fall, we're anticipating a lot. It's a huge growth. The numbers shot up in regards to our weekly average. Even the last summer to this summer in Sunday school today, like we're pretty full. There's a lot of kids, and it's like, it's the middle of July. Like, isn't everyone camping? And the truth is, a lot of people are camping. We just have so many more kids. But one of the problems is we don't have so many more leaders. And we're having a hard time figuring it out. And some leaders, I'm like, oh man, I have to give them a call and ask if they can help when they just did it last week. They'll miss another service, and it can be a little hard. And so we could use quite a few more Sunday school teachers. And what that looks like for commitment is once a month, typically, unless we're short another week and I have to give you a call. But hopefully with more leaders signing up, we won't have like those instances. Just once a month in one of the classes, we've got a preschoolers class, we've got a K-2 class, and we've got a 3-5 class. That's great. The upstairs kids like have a large group together, and they split after their songs and their large group lesson to do like smaller lessons. And there actually isn't that much prep, opposed to what you might think of Sunday school. It's actually not a lot of prep, and it really is just a chance to love on these kids, to teach them what God says, what the Bible says, and how important they are, how loved they are, to play games with them, to have fun with them, and it builds into our Royal Rangers program as well, our midweek program. A lot of the kids do both, and it turns out to be just a beautiful experience for our kids to experience church, And then we work on raising these kids so that when they age out of that Sunday school program, that they can come into what's happening here, take part in leadership in our church. I think that if God's nudging you to help out with Sunday school, then please answer that nudge, because we could really use some more leaders with our Sunday school ministry. I'll move on to our youth ministry. Just to give you a brief update, what we've done with our youth in this past couple months is we've split up our youth group into two separate groups. And so what we had before is a grade 6 to grade 12 program that would happen on a weekly basis on Wednesday nights from 6 until 8 o'clock, and it was working great. Although we have a ton of kids that were in our Sunday school and Royal Rangers program that are moving into our youth group. And we have also got our youth group growing up every year, right? And we realize there's a big divide between our junior youth in those grades 6, 7 through 8 and our senior youth more in grades 9 and up. And so we decided let's split that up to make a more intimate gathering for each group. Now, that there's a benefit for the students when you split it up, but there's a disadvantage in that we don't have more bodies. And so as we have split the group up, we stole some leaders from STARS. Who are working with some of these girls, and they're going to be helping us out at youth group, but they can't do too much in a given week. We don't want to burn our leaders out. And so we could certainly use some more helpers in our youth group, but not as many because we had some people step in. I want to say thank you to those of you that have been helping out at youth group in the past. In particular, what we do need at youth group is a male leader in our junior group, and we could use another male leader in our senior group. And that would be so beneficial to these students. And I've been telling my wife for quite some time that I wish God would send like a married couple that could come and work at youth ministry to model like a marriage to them. And Ashley, just with some choices that we've made in our personal life and things that we've taken on that God's given us, Ashley doesn't have the ability to make it to every youth night in the past where she's been able to. And so it would be great if our youth could have a marriage example, like a good marriage example, in their weekly gatherings where they can see a man and a wife, and they can still split up and come together and show what it means to love one another, as well as to help out in the leadership aspects of what happens on a weekly night. And so I hope that gives you a good picture of what's happening in our youth ministry moving forward. In regards to numbers, sometimes I think, oh, it's too many. But really, we're so excited to grow and so excited to be welcoming more youth and more kids into our church community. And the idea would be that once these kids get involved in our midweek programs, that we can get the family involved in what's happening on the weekend here. And so we've got big dreams for what's happening with our kids and big dreams for what's happening in our community. But one of the big goals is that we would bring these families where their kids are being ministered to, and bring their families here to our fellowship where they can meet Jesus as a family. And then we can see some longevity in their relationship with God as a unit. And that works. And it's beautiful. So thanks.
Amen. Thank you, John and April and Daniel. They can speak to the needs of the church far better than I can. We went to pastor a church. We were there 2 weeks. I got my first paycheck. I took it to the bank and it bounced. And in hindsight, that was the best thing that ever happened. Because all the information came out and I said to the treasurer, well, we need a full financial report. He said, well, we just had an annual meeting. I said, yeah, that was 3 months ago. Let's have it up to date. So he finally brought the report to the board, and some of the board sat there with their mouths like this. And one of them said, what are we going to do? And I said, well, we're going to take this information to the congregation. He said, what are we going to tell them? We're going to tell them exactly what we got told today. And so we announced a congregational meeting, and all 11 people showed up. And we had a meeting, and here is a word of wisdom. Brother Moore sits over in that section. He's now 80 years old. Been in this church since 1956. He gets up to his feet, and in his English accent, one only comes out when he's excited. He said, Pastor, I believe the cure, the answer to our situation is, number one, let's get people saved. Number two, let's teach them how to tithe. And that's exactly how it went. In a matter of 4 years, we paid off the mortgage. The church was debt-free. It was a great experience to literally burn the mortgage in front of the congregation. There are two areas. Nobody mentioned Dine and Dash. And if you haven't been a part of that, it's a great experience. I invite you to come and let Pastor John or Monica know that you can help, and just watch the community come to us. And we feed them, we befriend them, we send them on their way. Number two, we are in desperate need of a head usher. Now, ushers are probably as important as the preacher, because you are the people that meet everybody coming into the church. They have questions, they'll ask you the question as they come in. And so your role is very, very important. So we need a head usher, and then that head usher will assemble a group of ushers and put together a rotation. And you will be amazed how friendly your church will become as these things are fit into place. So, what do we say now? What's in your hand? Let's stand together. Oh God.